we really want it to be high quality efforts, like significantly above threshold.
Mm-hmm.
The athlete's got to be pretty well trained to handle mm-hmm. that load. That's okay. To really do that workout well, you've got to have a very high level of fitness. That is a good aerobic base and a well-trained glycolytic system. So you can keep that lactate level from spiking too much and not be swimming in it. Because if you're trying to give someone VO2 and you really want them to have higher quality efforts, that is power output that's above threshold, and you shorten the recovery too much, then you're at risk of them just blending into a VO2 effort or mm-hmm. Into a threshold effort.
Yeah.
Which maybe that's what you want, is to really put them underwater a couple times to get their body to respond.
Mm-hmm.
Depends on where they're at and how sharp you want the knife, so to speak. Mm-hmm. If you're further away from your event, you might do that and just say, look, this is going to be rough, man. I want you to just, so this goes into the conversation about RPE. This is why it's valuable. When I write a prescription, I might say something like 4x5 and I'll just say maximum. I want you to go as hard as you can for 4x5. And then I get lots of questions.
So many questions. Right? I was like, smiling as you're saying this.
Like, does that mean that I go as hard as I can for a minute and then, like, you know, just totally nosedive and then I'm hanging on for dear life after that? Does it mean that I have the highest average over all four efforts? Like, does that mean I'm going really easy for the first minute of each effort? You know, what cadence should I do? Like, should I be bleeding at the end of, out of my eyeballs at the end of every 5 minute effort, or just the last one? You know, should I negative split the last one? Like, there's all kinds of ways people play these games. And part of this comes back to a concept that one of my mentors, Matt Walden, taught me, which is about the second simplicity, right? The first simplicity is when you start to learn a new complex topic, whether it's cycling or golf or, I don't know, algebra, you're like, yeah, this is pretty easy. You know, you go out and ride your bike. And then you learn all the things, like, oh, you could do 1 minute intervals, you can do 5 minute intervals, and you can change your cadence, and you can do intervals on flats or uphills, and you can stand up out of the saddle or do seated. Wait, there's time trial bikes. And you figure out the millions of nuances, and then things get really complicated. The second simplicity is when you realize how many common variables there are between all these permutations of choices. And really, at the end of the day, 4x5 maximum, 2.5 minutes in between. So part of this is I'm stealing this from Seiler. Let the athlete solve the equation. You give them the prescription and you see how they solve the equation. So there are two beautiful things there. One is you get to learn how your athlete views intervals and how they solve that. That tells you a lot about their mentality. It tells you about their weaknesses. It requires more thought. You have to look through the data and be like, okay, I see they went out way too hard in this first one, and then they tanked, and then they kind of hang on for dear life. And then in the second one, they went way too hard for about 20 seconds, and then they remember what happened in the first one. You know, you can kind of read all the little mental battles that happen in a workout like that, because that's a hard workout prescription. Like 4x5 maximum, when you have a driven athlete, that's a hard ask. Mm-hmm. Requires motivation, requires freshness. Right?
You were there, driven athlete. I mean, some athletes is not even worth giving to, but
agreed. Agreed. So I let the athlete solve the equation, but I'll give them a little bit if they're really poking and prodding and they're super lost. It's like, okay, you got to give them a little something to chew on.